Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Yeah.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and the Malolo shellacking continues.
Shellacking? Wow, good word.
Well, before we really get into this, I just want to figure out, why is Jeff blaming this new Malolo tribe for every Malolo loss in the game? I'm sorry, but that annoyed me so much tonight. I just want to get that out before we get into everything.
Like Michael is the only one who's been on Malolo the entire time.
It just I get that James had started on Malolo and Michael was on Malolo, and then Michael, Kellen, and Desiree were on Malolo, but he kept on saying that this was the worst tribe ever. And it's not like Oolong, where they never broke up and were just absolutely terrible. They've broken. This is the second swap. We've had three iterations of Malolo. Yeah, Malolo keeps losing, but it's not like it's the same people. Angela's over there getting shamed, and she hasn't lost a single challenge on Malolo until today.
It's the curse. The beach is cursed. He's playing up the curse business.
Had to bring that up because it was just why Jeff just kept doing it all night. And I was like, Jeff, you're annoying me with this. It's not the same tribe.
I think he's rolling with that too, because Jacob also previously dubbed him the greatest tribe ever. So there's a lot of fun themes that Jeff can poke at here.
They're the greatest tribe ever, and they are this original Malolo tribe. And I apologize to all of you out there who are listening. You are the worst pre-merge tribe since Oolong. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying, in general, there's five left. How are we down to five? And what happened tonight?
Six votes. The only one who's gone is Morgan. Morgan is in for an awkward pre-merge trip.
Seriously, and I don't mean that. I mean, just the way it's broken out, the way that things have gone, I don't understand why Angela didn't flip tonight. We'll talk about that. This Malolo starting 10...
There were enough F-bombs earlier this week.
No, I'm not dropping F-bombs. The Troy Zanz podcast was Sunday. We're back to the family episode here. I'm just saying, this Malolo 10, there's now Malolo 5. All I know about Libby is that supposedly she's a devil in an angel's body. But
yeah,
other
apparently
than one
she's
episode,
Parvati 2.0, which is hot take of the night.
Yeah, seriously, other than one episode, we haven't seen anything from Libby. Donathan, he's there, but I don't think Donathan's going to win the game. And then you have, who else is there from the original? Laurel and Jenna. Maybe Laurel. I mean, I like Laurel, but maybe. And then Michael. Michael's the only one out of the original Malolo that we're down to that I think can really win the game. And here we are on day, What are we on? Day 18? We need to figure something. That out for the fantasy game.
Great question.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's actually an important question. but here we are right away, and we are down to 9 Navidi left, and I'm even more frustrated now with the way the premiere was edited, and I'm really not that bitter James went. I thought James was okay. I like James. I think that he made great points tonight in Alexa. I know you want to talk about that, but mm-hmm. I just am annoyed with how the premiere was edited now, because we really saw nothing of Navidi in that premiere. And now they are almost 2/3 of our cast that's left. And that's kind of a problem, because tonight I really thought it was going to be Dez, just because it was like, there has to be a break here. A Navidi finally has to go home, and we haven't really seen much of Dez all season. So it would make sense for her to go here. Mm-hmm. But if she's staying, now you have Desiree, Chelsea, who else? Even Wendell, we haven't seen like all that much from. I mean, Angela, I don't know why she did what she did tonight, so I don't know her nearly as well as I hoped I did. and so here we are with 14 people left, and that tribe that started off that has almost 2/3, I don't know almost half of them. So it's kind of like a weird situation. I like where Wendell's set up. I just don't know his gameplay really at all right now, because the only tribal he went to, he's on the wrong side of the numbers.
Yeah, and this episode did everything in its power to convince us that Dez was going home. Her two confessionals before they went to tribal council were all about, like, we're so tight, there's this flip coming, like, Fade is the homie, which is episode title goes to Dez. How many of you thought it was going to Sebastian? It went to Dez. Mm-hmm. Every single thing, like, she messed up the puzzle. Jeff was calling it back to when Chris yanked the trigger on her puzzle during the premiere. Every single thing was going against Dez. And this kind of goes back to the point that I made a couple weeks ago, which is each episode individually, they're doing a good job of tricking us in terms of who is going home. Like, maybe we thought Brendan had a chance. Maybe we thought Stephanie had a chance. Maybe we even thought like Morgan had. We never thought Morgan was going home. Individually, we don't really know who's going home. But what this is now creating is this bubble where everyone who is gone, I feel like I know very, very well. And a lot of the people who are still sitting there, I don't know. Like you just said, Angela, I thought that I got a lot of emotional content out of her. Also, sidebar, if anyone gets emotional content in an episode, I am assuming that they're going home, because we got a really good James emotional episode. But the people who are gone, we know their story so well. And now apparently Dez and Kellen are super, super tight, because even though Angela was like, oh yeah, like totally going to vote, like definitely going to vote Dez, like Kellen was pretty concerned. Apparently they have a relationship. Chelsea is like apparently close with like Dom and Bradley. I don't know. Like, we don't know Chelsea. We don't know Dez. We don't know. All we know is Dominic and Chris are like two bros who like can't handle being on the same planet near each other. Mm-hmm. It's really, really weird. And now, like you just said, now that they are the majority of this season, I don't really know their relationships other than they are clearly way too tight to ever vote each other off. And this is my last point. Like, I know that we've been fairly biased, and by fairly, I mean very biased towards the people who've gone home, but this, it's just a pagonging, and it's not really that enjoyable to watch. And I can turn how I feel about the people who are gone, and I still love a lot of people on the season. I just wish I knew them better.
Yeah, and I don't even think that it's so much that it's not been fun to watch, because I've liked it up until this episode. I was really digging it. I was like, damn, Brennan goes home, Stephanie Johnson goes home. I'm like, damn, like this hurts. Like, but I'm enjoying it. Like, these are crazy blindsides. The editors really got me, but now they got me tonight. And James isn't even somebody that I was super connected to. But the way that it went down tonight, I'm like, okay, what do I have left? Who am I rooting for? And clearly Bradley's made out to be the villain. I mean, in the preview for next week, it's, man, he can't help himself. He's just a dick. And it's like, okay, so
you could say dick on TV, actually.
I mean, I guess nowadays you could just say anything. It doesn't even matter. But like, so if we're not rooting for Bradley and we're not rooting for Chris, who are we rooting for that's left on this season to win the game? And that's just a general question. Who's everybody rooting for? But aside from maybe Michael and I don't know, I guess Dominic. I mean, but that's like what I'm saying. It's I guess.
Dominic, like there's plenty to There's any reason to not really want him either.
Like, are we rooting for Kellen right now, who really hasn't done anything wrong, is playing a really solid game, clearly has her ducks in a row here, knows what she's doing, but has also been in this power position the entire time where you're just like, God, she has to overcome something, doesn't she? Literally nobody's had to overcome anything from that Navidi tribe. They are just cruising through this game. And tonight, Angela finally gets her chance to actually align with people who she could say she bonded with. James literally saved her at that one tribal. Him and his allies saved Angela. And Angela's going to decide to go with Kellen. Now she's with Kellen. She's with Dez, who are tight with Bradley and Chelsea. And she's going to assume that they're going to keep her over Dominic, that they're going to keep her over somebody like Sebastian, who they've made all these votes with. I don't understand Angela's logic here when James had proven he would not vote her out when it was an easy way to vote her out, and he doesn't have the numbers. So you take James and Michael, you can take a minority majority and end up flipping the game on Navidi. But by voting with Kellen and stuff, you just put yourself at the bottom of the majority. There's a majority within that majority, and Angela will never be in it. Tonight, she had a chance to be the majority of the minority that could possibly do it. If that made no sense, whatever. I can do like a little graph, but
it's like the hierarchy within a 9-person alliance, because there's a 9-person spanning 3-tribe alliance right now. What was so perplexing to me about Angela's decision is because this whole entire episode was about who we've made connections with. Like, James had this great point, which I forgot to bring up earlier, that, and this is like, my parents are on the West Coast right now, so I really hope they're listening to this, because they brought this point up to me too. This is the first season since Samoa, since season 19, without returnees, where tribes have just been divided up randomly. No hustlers, no heroes, no beauties or whatevers. This was so random. And it was split randomly. And then it was reshuffled randomly. And it was reshuffled randomly again. And these relationships, which we, as we just said, know very little about how their dynamics work. Like, yes, they're strong, but we have no reason to understand why they're strong. And James brought up the point that they are so random. And even Jeff was like, yeah, like, why do you bleed Navidi or Malolo? Because apparently Malolo sucks. Let me just continue to shit on Malolo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, just so everybody knows, sidebar on that. But it just is random. And so these connections aren't making that much sense to me. So then when this entire vote out was apparently based on Angela's connections to people, we clearly saw that James grew up needing to make connections to people. Angela is now in a situation in her life where she needs to start making connections with people. And all we saw tonight from her original tribe was her not having a connection to them. And normally when someone's in a swing position, we usually get some kind of confessional before tribal council that says, oh, well, I could vote James because X, but I also might vote Dez because Y. But we didn't get that tonight. We only got, I'm going for Dez. So, like, yes, maybe we were being pushed that way for a blind side. But now that I've had 3 of these, or like 4 of these in a row, I just want the option to understand why Angela voted the way she did, because I really don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me why Angela did this based on everything we've seen. We saw her get betrayed by original Navidi. They all try to vote her out. James doesn't vote her out. And then maybe James just didn't ever offer her the olive branch at the last tribe, and that's why. Maybe it was just like she's always going to be on the outside, and she really felt like they would never work with her. And we just didn't see that because obviously it's highly, highly edited. But it was surprising for me that Angela didn't decide, you know what, I'm going to go with the 2 stronger guys. And not only that, she goes with the 2 stronger guys. They are going to get voted out before her once the merge hits. And I'm kind of this whole argument of you need to get rid of strength before the merge is just such an old argument now, because they'll always get rid of those targets once the merge hits. Chris is going to be one of the early boots. Chris is going to go before an Angela, before a Desiree, before once a merge hits and it's like, oh, we need to get rid of an actual big physical threat. You're going to get rid of Chris. You're going to get rid of Seb. You're going to get rid of, you know, whatever, Michael. These are the types of people you're going to gun for in like a normal situation. So to say, oh, we need to get rid of the strength before the merge, it's like, why do you need to get rid of the strength before the merge? You can always get rid of the strength. Get rid of somebody else who can hide behind that strength like you can. And for Angela, those 2 people who can hide behind the strength are Kellen and are Desiree. They don't look threatening at all. I don't know how they've performed in the challenges. I know like Kellen has been pretty good with the puzzles. And Desiree tonight really blew it on the puzzle, but I feel like Desiree has been all right the entire time. So you're going to hide behind them, but like, why are you hiding behind? Why don't you get rid of one of them? And then you can just hide behind these shields that are always going to be bigger threats than you. There could be a point where Desiree is not a bigger threat than you, or they say, let's get rid of Angela right now because we can get rid of Desiree whenever we want to, but Angela's on the wrong side of the numbers or she's trying to stir stuff up. Let's get rid of her. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think that, I mean, I hope we find out because I really am just unsure, but I feel like just because every single confessional we've had from Angela, of which there have not been many, have been about her like needing a connection or her getting stabbed in the back, both in her personal life and in this game. So I feel, again, there's got to be some kind of connection that she feels to them that we're just not seeing. And I'm trying to, like, I don't think I've ever seen her and Morgan interact before now. I don't think I've ever seen her and Des interact before now. I think, if I remember correctly, Morgan was saying in her exit interview that Angela and Des were in opposing alliances. Angela and Kellen were in opposing alliances. Angela and Des were apparently in the same alliance. But did they even speak tonight? Not based on what we saw.
Yeah, this was more based around like Kellen trying to convince Angela. And this is more because Kellen, so far out of those three, is obviously the one who has the better chance to win the game. She's the one who can actually go deep. I don't see Des or Angela winning. So they're going to try to make this Kellen's ideas for later on in the game. But I don't know. It's just, it's a weird dynamic that I wish I understood a little bit better. Just because this was the time where it was like, okay, Navidi's going home. And like, I'm going into this tribal, like, okay, like it's Des, like there's no way it's not going to be Des. And it ends up being James, and Michael even voted that way. So I guess Michael's just in saying, guys, look, I'll vote with you. Like I'll prove that I'll vote with you guys. And he had said that the last time, if they saved him, he would continue to vote with them. So I don't know. It's just a strange, strange dynamic. And it's a shame when you start off with 10 and 10 at random, like you said, and that first tribe loses two straight challenges. So now it's 10-8. And since that point, even when Morgan went home, like Morgan goes home, but then after that, it's been clearly just Navidi voting out Malolos. And if that's going to be the rest of the game, which it's not, there's going to be blind sides at some point. But if that's going to be like the rest of the game, it's just not very fun. And I'm not even like, it's crazy that like the James boot is finally the one that got me to be like, do I enjoy watching this after I just watched Brendan and Stephanie Johnson, or two of my preseason favorites, go. It's funny that this is finally the one where I'm like, all right, I've had enough, switch it. Somebody vote out one of the Navidis. And I don't want it to be Bradley. I'm going to say that because Bradley being the villain, you want the villain on the jury. You always want like the season villain on the jury. I want Chris on the jury. I want this next boot to be somebody who's like kind of likable from Navidi. This way it's like, look, it can happen to them too, because right now they are just owning this.
Mm-hmm. That actually brings up a good segue, because Bradley and Chris, two people you just brought up, were on two other tribes. And Chris especially, I texted you this. Up until James went, like, I actually really liked this episode, because again, it was filled really, really, like, it was filled to the brim with character moments that also resulted in strategy. And this new, what is it called? Yanua tribe. They were just bombing on Chris, and it was awesome because they segued it so well with like, I think, oh, it was Wendell first. He was like, oh yeah, I was managing these two ridiculous egos and now I only have to manage one. And then you get the scene of Sebastian going over Laurel and he's like, hey, Laurel, you used to play volleyball? And Chris was like, yeah, man, I used to play some volleyball. And Laurel's like, okay. And then Chris tells Laurel that he's a model and she was like, oh. And he was like, it was just an amazing, it was a beautifully well done scene. And then, sorry, I just want to get one last thing in. And then he said, quote, when you're a big athletic guy as charismatic as me, I am all in on the Chris experience. I'm all in on the Chris show. This is the most ridiculous thing I'm watching and I'm loving it.
And this was so much like the Cagayan Jeremiah scene where Jeremiah told Cass and Spencer that he was a model. And I think it was Spencer who was like, yeah, you would think like Jeremiah thinking that was a big deal doesn't surprise me. Like, it was so funny how he did it. And that was exactly what this was, like this big muscular guy was like, by the way, I'm a model. But I love the that that whole scene with Laurel is like, Laurel's a Division I athlete. She plays volleyball and it's Yale. Yeah, went to Yale. And it's one of those where it's like, hey, I ran a sub 4 minute mile. And the other guy jumps in and is like, I finished a 5K. You know, yeah. I did that. Like, that's what that.
Also, I'm a
like.
Model while 5K-ing.
Yeah, I also looked way better than you while I was doing it, even though I was going like backwards. I looked better. Like, here, I bet you, like, Laurel could, I don't know what, you know, positions in volleyball. I never played volleyball, but I'm sure she could destroy Chris in volleyball. whether, no matter what, no matter how much more athletic he might be, just because she's got the actual fundamentals of volleyball, yeah. Where Chris won a tournament on a beach one time.
What's that SNL skit? Oh, the Penelope skit, where she's like, well, I have 7 houses on a beach. Mm-hmm. Whenever someone mentions having, like, 6 houses on a beach, that's what I'm watching with Chris. And they did the dumb music on him when I forget what he said, but he was like, oh, some people would think that like when you're a model, you're self-absorbed. And it was like self-absorbed and something else, or self-absorbed and like dumb. And then he said like beneficiary. He said like beneficial, completely butchered. It was excellently done. It was a very well done couple of minutes. And Laurel was the perfect vessel for it because she just looked so bored and so unimpressed the entire time.
Yeah, and what's really crazy, what's fun about this tribe is we got to see them here because they didn't do the reward challenge and they just swapped them up. This tribe isn't losing. Like, there's probably only going to be one more pre-merge boot and they're not going to lose. They have Chris, Wendell, Seb, Laurel, and Jenna. That is probably the 2 strongest women in the game and 3 of the 4 strongest men in the game. So they're not losing. Like, even though tonight it was close.
Oh, that tribe is stacked.
Yeah, like, Wendell forgot the bag, came back, finished that puzzle, and he, like, killed that puzzle. He's telling them, like, here, just slide it in. You're going to slide it all the way around, and then you're going to hit a notch. Stop there. That's what his whole method was. And he kind of turned it into, like, a clock thing as opposed to what Dez was doing, which was just, like, random piece here, random piece there. The way he did it, it was kind of like one of those like rotary phones where it was like, you're going to go until you can't go anymore. And then you go on to the next piece. So I thought that was really good what Wendell did there. They get through a blindfold challenge, which, by the way, for the first time.
Yes, we needed to talk about that.
For the first time in Survivor history, I picked somebody who got blindfolded. So we need a round of applause for myself. I've wanted to get rid of this for so long. Oh my God, it's torture. Laurel, my hero, my angel, I hope you win the game because you finally got me to get this thing right.
Laurel, you got Phil a singular point in the fantasy
game. A singular point in the fantasy game since season 32 was – no, 31 was the first time we did this. It was second chances. We did the prop bet game. Since season 31, I have never gotten the blindfold person right. And tonight, Laurel, you were the first person I ever got right with that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I was praying you weren't the caller. And thank you, Wendell, for being the caller and for, you know, being so – I don't know what the word would be, but confident in your puzzle ability and confident in your calling ability, because it meant Laurel couldn't do it, which is great for me.
It was so funny too. We even had a blindfold. We didn't have it last season, and I don't think we had any game changers. We haven't had a blindfold situation in a while. So I saw when Jeff was talking to them, they had the ropes in the back, and I was like, oh my God, this is gonna be it. And this is just us being dramatic, but they like cut up to the sky and then they cut back down, and I was like, oh my God, who is the one who isn't blindfolded here? So we had that. This 12 people who got blindfolded. So hopefully a lot of people will be getting prop bet points for that.
Yeah, 12 people. And that's probably the only time we're going to see blindfold this season. So if you didn't get points there, you're in trouble. But thank you, thank you, thank you. I got Laurel there. So Donathan's hanging out in the chat right now.
Yeah, I saw that. Sup, Donathan.
Hey, man.
It's kind of late. What time is it?
I know. It's like 12:30. I don't know. In Kentucky, I think it's actually
11:30. They're one behind, right?
They're one behind. So – but anyway, so that green tribe, they're not going to lose. You're going to see Chris, Wendell, Sebastian, Laurel, and Jenna all in the merge. I'd be really, really, really surprised if they lose next week. It would have to be some type of catastrophe.
Yeah, that is orange a dream tribe right there.
That orange tribe is clearly the weakest tribe. I mean, let's be honest. That Kellen, Desiree, Angela, Michael, very weak. Here's another thing to think about. If orange loses again next week, don't be surprised if Angela goes home and it's Michael, Desiree, and Kellen who decide to team up against her. I could definitely see that happen.
Should I believe that? I have no reason to believe that.
Well, I mean, here's why I think it could happen is because Michael has said to Kellen and Desiree, if you keep me this vote, I will vote with you. And he voted with them tonight to vote out James, who was somebody on his original tribe.
He did vote James out.
So I think that if they go to another one, they might actually trust Michael more than they trust Angela, considering Angela's ties with Chris. And they know now that Chris versus Dominic is very, very real.
I very much want to believe that. And I think in many other seasons, that's a perfectly smart prediction, but I cannot agree with that at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's impossible.
Unless Michael finds James. If Michael finds James's other idol and then uses it, that would just be a beautiful bookend to this whole situation.
Well, before we go to the Purple Tribe, no Ghost Island tonight. So Ghost Island, really, if we're thinking about it, probably one more vote before the merge. I'm thinking merge at 13 because that's when Dominic's legacy advantage has to be played. So why would they want the legacy advantage to be played on a five-person tribe? They want it played at the merge. They want the biggest merge episode they can get. So, okay, we have these final 14 now we're down to. What has Ghost Island really brought to us? And this isn't me ripping on anything here. I just want to know, do we think Ghost Island is a success right now? Up to this point, because obviously the second half of the game, it could be great. But up to this point, is Ghost Island actually a success, or is it kind of just a dud?
So my take on it is that it is a success. But I think when it comes to each person's like opinion on that, that really just depends what they want out of it. I don't need a Cambodia Game Changers level season where it's just straight up strategy and it's just spitting out advantages and idols for everybody. The only advantages floating around right now are in two of Dominic's pockets. And I'm very much okay with that. And I'm saying that as three of my favorites were just voted out back to back to back. So I like it because we're getting the nostalgia. We're getting this game. We're getting emotional content. We're getting it having an effect on votes when someone's gone during Immunity Challenge, during Tribal Council. And it's just enough. It's not having a vast effect on the game, but it's there and it's kind of poking at everybody. And that's kind of all I want. Jeff isn't shoving it down our throats. I think it's very baseline, and I'm very happy with that. What do you think?
I think I'll take the opposite end, and I'll say that I think it's a dud. I was very excited about it when Jacob went there. I thought it was awesome. Jacob was a great first person to have go there. If you think about it, in the Gonzalez boot, that meant nobody went. Or Jacob went in the Gonzalez boot. So it was like, okay, Jacob's going there. This is amazing. This is great. Then Jacob goes home and passes that thing along to Morgan. Great. Donathan goes and nothing happens. Okay. The next time was what? Kellen, I think, was next. Or was it Chris? Chris goes, nothing happens. Chris had a moment, but nothing happened. It was more of Exile Island. It wasn't anything special. Then Kellen goes and decides she's not going to play the game. Okay, that's fine. I like that she had to make the decision, but she doesn't play it. And then Stephanie Johnson goes. I might be missing somebody here, but then Stephanie Johnson goes. And when she gets there, they don't let her play the game. So now we are six episodes in, and we've really only seen one thing come out of Ghost Island, and that was Jacob. It's the only thing that's come out of Ghost Island. So to me, you might as well just make Exile Island. It saves a little bit of time. I like the nostalgia. I can't lie. I like the nostalgia. I love that James's idol was in play. But James's idol was also found at a beach. It wasn't found at Ghost Island. So as crazy as that is, the idol for James and the idol for Andrea were both found on a beach, not at Ghost Island. So did you really need the Ghost Island theme, or could it just be called, like, you know, Bad Blunders? Like, who knows? Like, you didn't
notice. Those are Bad Blunders.
Bad Blunders. You heard it here first. But, like, it's just Exile Island to me. There's been one advantage. Yeah, they have to make the decision, but they also had to make the decision back in Gabon. And that was, what, 20 seasons ago now, almost.
So, I guess, but I think, like, to me, that's kind of the point. Like, it's not supposed to be this huge, just like, here's an advantage every single time. Do you want more? Do you want more people to have just the option of playing? Because there's been three sorry you can't plays.
There's only been two people who've had the opportunity to play at Ghost Island, and it's been that was the sixth boot of this season. So 6 weeks. 6 weeks of Survivor, you know, I know the premiere, whatever, but six episodes, 6 hour longs of Survivor. We've seen one advantage and two people do something. That I don't like. And really only one person did something because Kellen opted out. So I think that that's a bit of a problem because so much time was being spent there. And if you think about the people who went, Jacob's gone. And Stephanie Johnson's gone. We spent a lot of time with both of them. I know Donovan's still in the game. We got a great moment from him. Chris is still in the game. We got a great moment from him. But couldn't we have gotten that moment from them even if they hadn't gone there? Would that have been okay? And the fact that it's not saving anybody from tribal anymore either, it only did it for like the first three, I think that's like a little weird too. Like there's really not a huge purpose right now. It feels like to me, to Ghost Island in the pre-merge, I think it was a bit of a dud.
I do prefer people going when their tribe is going to tribal council. I definitely prefer that because I like it adding that dynamic because then like either you're going to rocks or you're sending, you know, purposely sending someone strategically to the island. That I far prefer. But when it comes to like those moments, I don't think we'd be getting those if they weren't on Ghost Island, because if someone, like, especially now that it's only happening in between reward and immunity challenge, we may not have heard from Kellen in that light. We may not hear from people in that light because their beach isn't being featured or they're just not being featured. So I think I want that. And that's okay by me. I have said since the beginning, I don't want it to be this big vending machine for idols. And so that's why I'm okay with it, because it can be whatever you want. And this could maybe be the, like, this is the theme that we've been missing out on. And people have kind of been taking their own nostalgic look on it, because everyone is having these emotional moments there and everyone's saying, well, this is what I left back at home. This is what I haven't done right. Here's what I can do better in the future, whether it comes in the form of a legacy advantage or in their own game.
Yeah, but couldn't that have just been Exile Island then? Because what's more fun to you, watching Donathan stir a pot of rice or watching Dan K walk out into a pit and dig around for an idol, like, and never find it? Like, to me, I'd rather watch that, because by doing this Ghost Island thing, you're pretty much saying if you don't get the advantage to play, you're not going to be able to find an idol anyway. And then it's just them sitting there. And yeah, we get these moments, but we're getting those moments from Sugar back in Gabon too, because she would just go chill at the Sugar Shack. Like, that made Sugar a fan favorite. And we all saw what happened to Heroes versus Villains, and post that. She clearly should not have been a fan favorite.
Well, now we're really, really going a separate way. I'm trying to think what you said. Oh, so anyways, I still want it to be Ghost Island, because when we do get the chance for them to play a game, if you I used to sit at home with my parents and I would watch a show, and I know I'd be sitting with them and I'd be like, oh my God, like, would I do this? Would I give up my vote for this? Like, I just love thinking of the possibilities. I would rather watch that than watching like someone dig around for a ditch or watching them stir rice. But the thing is, like, that's 10 seconds out of the minute that they get on Ghost Island. And to me, that really doesn't affect my viewing experience.
Yeah, I'm glad we're disagreeing on this, because I just feel like it's a good idea that they just so far executed poorly. And I think it'll pick up post-merge, because post-merge, every time somebody loses, I feel like every time somebody's going to get sent to Ghost Island, somebody's going to win a reward, get to send somebody to Ghost Island, or win something, get to somebody to Ghost Island. So I think that Ghost Island is going to become much better post-merge. It seems like really the only thing they wanted to get into play pre-merge was the legacy advantage, just so that it could be used at the merge. It doesn't even seem like they wanted to get anything else involved, which is really the reason that I'm calling it a dud, is because it was so built up, and like we've had one thing, and it doesn't even feel like they've wanted to push anything else on us from Ghost Island. It just seems like here's what we have. Here's the legacy advantage. I would have been more satisfied, honestly, like, if at least like Donathan could have found James's idol there, or somebody found an idol there. We don't even see anybody find an idol at Ghost Island. So I wonder what Kellen's thing would have been. Is that just gone forever? Like, who knows?
I think it was in one of Stephanie's exit interviews. This will probably never be formally cleared up, but someone asked her, did you look for an idol at Ghost Island? And she kind of just said there wasn't really an opportunity to. So I feel like if you're not playing the game, there must be someone telling you there is some reason to believe that there is no idol there, because we would see people looking for it. Absolutely. I'm curious to see how long. Yeah, I know. I'm glad. I'm pumped we're disagreeing about this. I'm curious to see how long it goes, because like Redemption Island goes real far. Mm-hmm. That went really far into both their seasons. Exile Island, that didn't go on for too long. I don't know how long. They'll probably keep this through the merge so that they can start blowing it up with idols. That's my prediction.
Yeah, and
they're going to need to make it fun, because the entire fucking merge is going to be Navidi.
And there goes Alexa dropping her Troy
bomb. My Troy bomb.
Oh, she dropped a Troy bomb, everybody. I'm the family-friendly one. You hear me in person.
Oh, my God. I'm just so amped about this.
But I know how to keep myself under control when I have an argument.
I have a lot of opinions.
My God, Alexa losing it at 12:40 in the morning. Got a three-day weekend it's coming up, Alexa.
Just hang in there. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? It's opening day tomorrow. I got no weekends.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so opening day of baseball season. Yeah. Oh, have fun.
I am a hot mess this week.
Have fun. all right, so anyway, let's go over to the Purple Tribe real quick and talk about it, because I feel like this tribe, if a different tribe loses next week, I don't think it'll be green. I think it'll be purple. So let's look at this Purple Tribe. We got Dominic, Bradley, Libby, Donathan, Chelsea. And what do I know about this tribe? I know Bradley is the villain. I know Dominic is scrambling, and right now it looks like he's I want to say Dominic's going to win, but then again, from what we've seen this season, I could be an idiot. Chelsea spoke tonight. Libby didn't. Chelsea cried tonight, thinking about that.
What is in the coffee? We got Donathan crying. We got Chelsea crying. There's got to be something about that coffee.
They keep saying it's like home. There's literally home in that coffee.
My parents in the coffee.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway, and then you have Libby, who's just clearly the devil, even though she doesn't speak.
Parvati 2.0, who gets zero confessionals.
Exactly. And then you have Donathan, who is – what did we get – Yeah, he's playing.
I wrote down that he didn't get a confessional. He did? Okay, he got one. So then Libby's the only person we didn't hear from tonight. But, yeah. I mean, I thought he didn't get one. So clearly it could not have been that substantial. Like, Donathan is there.
Yeah, and I don't think he's necessarily bad. We know
you're listening, Donathan.
Yeah, we know you're listening, and I don't want you're being there to be construed as bad, because we know you're listening. But Donathan right now on this tribe, it's like Dom finally got rid of Chris. So Chris is gone. Hooray. Dom is the happiest man on the face of the earth. Chelsea got coffee. She's been missing it the entire time, which we clearly knew from her edit. She just needed coffee.
That was the top. Yeah, now she's going to get like now. Everywhere.
She was that confessional. She was going 100 words a minute. So we have Chelsea now, but then we have Libby being talked about. We have Bradley, who's saying he's playing an A+ game, which is just the kiss of death, Bradley. I mean, they could be setting you up for a bigger fall ever. Yeah, seriously. My God, he's going to get hit right in the knees. And then we have Donathan, who kind of seems like he's in the middle here. That's what Donathan said. Donathan said he's made good relationships with everybody there. He didn't get a chance to play with Chelsea. But like he said, he's been on a tribe with Dom, and he's been on a tribe with Libby. And he started out the game with Libby. So can he do this Navidi 2.0 to take down Navidi 1.0? Do him and Libby have any chance? And that's what he was saying. Like, I'm building these relationships. It looks like Dom and Bradley is just going to be Chris versus Dom 2.0.
Because Bradley and Dom were like screaming at each other. In the preview. And in the challenge too. I believe that was Bradley. I couldn't really tell because he was blindfolded.
I mean, not for nothing, Dom did say, "I need a white piece," and Bradley does have a blindfold on. So Bradley yelled at him.
But that's what I'm saying. They were just like, they were two people who were just going to yell at each other, and I think they were chirping at each other when Dom was leading them to the slaughter too. Like when he was leading them, trying
to run with them, and he's like, "We're behind," and Bradley was like, "Dude, we can't see." I mean, I don't really necessarily disagree with Bradley on these points
I'm saying that they are both just like, again, like Dom got away from an ego and Dom walked into another ego.
No, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying, like, in this situation, this wasn't even them playing up Bradley as a villain. It was just kind of like, here we go.
And that's why I think Dom is like not in like a winner position, because a lot of people who meet Dom are butting heads with Dom.
Yeah. So, but here's what we have. Here's what we have on this tribe. You have Chelsea and Bradley, who are tight. They're not voting each other out. I mean, they voted together. There's five. Seems like Bradley has Chelsea wrapped around his finger. We have Donathan and Libby, who look like they're going to work together. And we have Dominic, who doesn't look like he wants to work with Libby or work with Bradley. So where does that leave Dominic? And does that just mean that Bradley, Libby, Donathan, and Chelsea are going to decide, let's just get rid of Dominic right now? So honestly, I'm hoping Orange goes next week and somehow Michael survives it, because I think that makes for the most interesting merge. Because I think that if you can get Dom versus Bradley and Dom versus Chris into this merge, I think you have a very, very intense merge episode because I think it finally takes the heat off the backs of these Malolos. Whereas if Purple loses next week, I just don't see Dom working with Libby after what we were told tonight. It seems like he's absolutely terrified of Libby, and that just means there goes another Malolo before the merge. Now Morgan, that poor lost soul, is out there on her own.
Yeah, then all of a sudden the pre-merge trip is just like a big old family reunion plus Morgan. But to be fair, I think if anybody could fit in, it's Morgan, because I think she could fit in with everybody. But I guess that's not really what matters.
No, that's not what we're saying. I mean, I want to just see, like, if Morgan would get voted out on that, you know, on this pre-jury trip here.
Do you think if this is the Outcast twist, Morgan gets voted back in?
That would be hilarious. That would be so funny. Oh, my God. There it is. Maybe that's what's going to happen. They saved the Outcast twist. That's why they've been playing all these people up so much, so that when they come back, we're not shocked.
Oh, my God. That would cause an uproar.
Rigged. Anyway, so
hashtag rigged.
I just that Purple tribe has a weird dynamic to it where why were we being told that Libby is so like scary? Libby doesn't seem scary at all. And why are we being told that we really weren't told much about Bradley other than he was playing an A+ game. So like it didn't even seem like Dom and Bradley didn't like each other this week. It just seemed like Libby's terrifying. Bradley and Dom are gonna work together. They're gonna vote out one of these Malolos, and that's gonna be that. But that's just not gonna happen. But then Dom's not gonna work with Libby. So what gives?
Well, I think they go for Libby in that situation. And what was so funny is I love Chris. Like Dominic is just like, oh my God, Libby is evil. She is this giant seductress. And they just cut to Libby. Like, I mean, being pretty and walking and sitting down and then making small talk. And he's like, she's got to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I must be missing something massive because she is like, seems to just be sitting. Everything is funny. Like, it seemed like a comedy episode right now. Yeah.
It seemed like a comedy episode. It's like, oh, here's the funny part. She's literally just hanging out, not doing it. It's like when they kept saying Wigglesworth was this huge threat to win the game, and they would just show her like standing, doing yoga, staring at a camera, like nothing really going on here. But she could win. Like, we're being told all this stuff.
He's just coming in so hot on everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just paranoia on Dom's part. It's just the way Dom is. He's just he exaggerates. Just that's just him. But I kind of like the way the split happened. I hate that it was 3-2 in favor of Navidi on all the tribes. I don't think that's necessarily how it works out. We got to get through next week and hit that merge. I think once we hit that merge, that's when Navidi's going to start to go. I think you probably are going
to
lose.
They have to.
Well, no, I'm saying though, like right away. I think the first merge boot is going to be a lot of the feuding of Navidi finally coming to a head because it's like we can finally get rid of each other. Let's do it. Let's get rid of Dom. Let's get rid of Chris. Let's get rid of Bradley. Let's get rid of, you know, whoever. It's finally going to happen, I think, once the merge hits. I don't see it happening next week unless Orange loses and Kellen really does decide she likes Michael a lot more than Angela.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I had that kind of wishful thinking, but I don't. For the sake of the season, I don't know. I feel like we're going to be going in 9-4 to this.
The last time it was 9-4, four of the final five were that four. So
there you go.
Hope.
Samoa 2.0. You heard it here first.
Samoa 2.0. Libby's going to win.
Yeah, Libby is the Russell. I just want everyone to make that very clear. Exactly. I understand that there will be Libby, Natalie White comparisons. Libby is Russell. Do not let anyone tell you otherwise.
And Chelsea will be the Brett because she's invisible but gets fourth place when we're told that she would have won the game.
Yeah, and just like crushes the second half of the challenges.
Crushes it. Michael is clearly Mick because of who they are. Like that, you know, they're
get the M names.
And then Donathan's going to be your Natalie White.
And that's it. So we're done.
The Southern one wins the whole game. And there you go. There's your whole game. Eric Cardona must be Wendell because he's likable. And then, you know, your John Fincher is clearly Bradley. He's going to make some type of swap once things go wrong. Look, well, this is Samoa 2.0.
Marrying Parvati 2.0, which is Libby's. And we've really come full circle here.
My gosh, I'm getting dizzy. So, Bradley, you're now married to Libby. Whatever you have going on with Kellen must stop.
Yeah, that's got it. We're going to have to shut that down for the sake of this fan fiction we got going on here.
Yes, and this isn't fan fiction. Yes. This is fact at this point.
Yeah, this is what has already happened. So we actually don't need to podcast for another like month and a half or so.
I do like the question of who is the shampoo. It's Angela. Angela is going to be the one who ends up swapping over to Malolo. I mean, if Angela had a mullet, she would be Angela Ambo or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it would just be obvious.
Ambo. It's Ambo.
Okay, there
Hashtag
you go.
#Ambo.
There you go. I mean, it's
easy. This is the best thing we've ever done.
I'm stoked on this. Okay, so this is perfect.
Pumped. We just crushed like 4 minutes on this.
I know, right? All right, let's. Do you want to say anything else about the actual episode, or you want to just do like a couple of minutes of comments? I mean, this episode, not much happened.
let's roll with some comments.
Okay, let's do this. So we have Andy Vogel. I finally feel Phil's pain. I was counting on Gonzalez for this challenge. Well, guess what? He's gone.
You are a couple episodes behind. Connor Berry feeding into the fire. No one went to Ghost Island this episode. What is the point of it? I don't know, Connor Berry. We're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Alexa has a much better grasp on it than I do.
I am Ghost Island. I know everything that's coming.
Hey, she likes it more. So anyway, we have Andy Vogel. Friendly reminder that before the season, the Survivor Specialist was both unequivocally proclaimed Malolo as the strongest tribe. I really thought they were going to do well.
Okay, Andy. That is true. We got to own that.
I was on it. I mean, I just felt like there was going to be so much infighting on Navidi, which clearly it's going to happen. It's just going.
Oh, it's coming.
Maybe this will be a post merge like the Karor post merge, where it's just like, oh my god, this post merge is insane.
Oh my god,
because they hate each other
Karen.
So much.
Give me a Karen.
I just want Kobe again. Give me that.
Ba, 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 ba. Gamer Girl for week one, Stephanie Johnson wins MVP. She goes home in 16th place. For week two, James wins MVP. He goes home after Stephanie. Does this mean Kellen is next? I hope not. I will stop writing MVP spotlights if that means every single person I write an MVP for goes home.
It seriously seems like it might be time, Alexa. Yeah. It really does. Yeah. Here we go. Gamer Girl, why didn't they have two tribes of seven and have one go to Ghost Island? I know that's what we had thought originally, but honestly, these three tribes of five. Three tribes is always so much more fun at this point. I'm such a big fan. So,
and we get way more interaction, way more like personal content.
We bounced around everybody, and even though Libby didn't say anything, I mean, Libby was a big part of this episode. She's clearly like evil.
Mm-hmm.
So
evil. Extremely evil.
She's evil. She's the bad seed over there.
Noah Caffey. I'm nervous for one of the Yanuya girls. Remember, that's a weird name. Remember the last time the season began with orange and purple tribes, the new tribe was green. Hashtag Michaela Blindside.
Damn, I haven't seen that episode, so this is... Oh,
wow, spoilers. Hashtag spoiler. Wasn't that also... Actually, wouldn't that be Game Changers too? Because wasn't Tavua green?
Tavua was green, yeah.
Wow, but no, let's stick with the Michaela Blindside, because it was way more
exciting. Yeah, let's do that. I cannot wait for everybody, Dalton Ross, Gordon Holmes, once these tribes are gone... I hardly knew ya. I mean, come on. It's too easy.
As I said that, I was like, oh God, do I make the joke or do I leave it?
I mean, it's just too easy. Like, you know that they were like, just pick a word that they can just put into every recap.
Salivating over it.
Oh man, I hardly knew ya. I mean, if Chelsea goes home next week, I hardly knew ya, even though she wasn't on that drive.
You hardly knew ya? I'm trying to think of a better way to
hardly knew ya.
Hardly, I know, but it's like knew ya. So you can't. It's already the ya in front of it, so it's like really forced if they do that, which I wouldn't put past them.
I mean, not going on accents here, but maybe it's Donathan who says it, because tonight when he said Jeff, I don't know, like that was one of the funniest things, and I could hear him saying ya knew ya instead of knew ya.
Oh yeah, so, what did he say? Oh yeah, when Jeff was like, "Are you guys ready?" and Donathan is like, "Well, we have no choice."
Yeah. Oh no, that was Wendell who said we have no choice. It was then Donathan who yelled like something about like.
No, Donovan said we had no choice. Oh, yeah, I wrote that down. Wendell said something. I forget what Wendell said.
I thought Wendell was the one who said that. But then Donovan definitely said something about like, I don't know, Jeff. I'm just hoping that I can make it. Because Jeff asked Donovan. So like specifically about that tribe, how he thought it was done. So you knew you were wrong about the vote tonight, Angela.
There it is.
There you go. We do look at the live chat. All right. Zach Harris, I hope you talk about Angela's dilemma tonight and when the right time to make a move is. Why aren't any Navidi members budging? We talked about this. I don't think Angela made the right move tonight. I don't think those people she voted with are loyal to her. I think James would have been loyal to her. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
I was going to say, coming into the season, I also said I felt like Angela had a lot going on in her life, which might impact her thinking. And tonight we kind of heard her talking about that, how it always been about somebody else, and now it's about her. I still don't think she's thinking clearly. I think she said so many life changes happened to her recently that it might be impacting her thought process on the show. It does happen. Like, real life bleeds into Survivor. And I think that might be happening to Angela here.
Crazily enough, real life affects your Survivor game.
Right.
And yeah, Zach, to answer your second question, why aren't any Navidi members budging? I don't know, because I only know about four of them.
Yes, exactly. And those four, I can tell you, aren't budging because they're very tight and think they're in a very good position. It's the rest I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. JP, who I will believe until otherwise told is JP from Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. Two questions. First, does any Malolo members have a chance to survive? And two, why do you think no one went to Ghost Island? First, I think like Jenna has a chance to survive because they're probably not afraid of her. And at this point, like the max number of Malolos who can be on jury is five. So I feel like they'd have to win over a lot of people. I'm just saying Jenna because I feel like they're not afraid of her. Two, why do I think no one went to Ghost Island? I think for this episode, they knew that we had to meet a bunch of new tribes. So they had to focus the episode on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once they do a swap, they normally do that, though. Even in like Exile Island, I don't think they sent somebody after a swap. Yeah. Normally, hashtag they're going to send somebody to send one person. Still a dud. Island Living, do you think James getting Morgan out killed his game? He still is trying to do a Malolo when obviously Michael bailed because Kellen and Bradley kept Michael last vote.
I don't think that's why Michael did it.
And I also don't think that James voting out Morgan three boots ago is the reason he went home. He can't know that the other tribe is then going to lose the next two, that they're going to vote only Malolos. He's going to get swapped to a tribe that's going to be like, oh, it's three Navidi and two Malolo. And, you know, Angela is going to be the one from your tribe that sticks with you. Like, that could have easily been Chris. And Chris probably votes with James because it doesn't seem like Chris likes – or Chris was very tight with anybody else over there. So you never know, and I don't think this ends up screwing his game. I still think James made the right move at the time to get rid of Morgan. And watch, Libby will go home next, and both of them were the ones who made that move.
I used to ask with a couple comments. One called the 3-2 Navidi Milo tire breakdown, just a guess, no spoilers. Bootless should be proof of that. And then he said, did I blink and miss Ghost Island? Also, so far, who's correctly identified a Ghost Island item? Well, Isex, because Ghost Island is not a dud, it has only provided advantages at certain times. So at the moment, I believe it's only been Jacob.
I think it's only Jacob.
Yeah.
I think it's only Jacob. We have, and then Isex again, we used to call guys who had to one-up everyone Obies because they were always one better. And, I mean, are you trying to say Chris is an Obie? Come on. He's not a one-upper.
Take the next one.
JP, on the new green tribe, who do you think will find the idol? I say Chris, that way when merge hits, we have Dom and Chris war. Nobody looked for idols tonight, or at least we didn't hear them looking for idols tonight. So I don't see Jenna or Laurel really looking for idols. I don't think Jenna feels like she's in danger at all because of Seb, and I don't know if Laurel really feels like she's in danger.
I feel like Laurel would look. She's like a super fan.
I think she would look, but I don't think she's like desperate for one. I really think Chris is done if that tribe loses. I just don't see them losing. They're just stacked from top to bottom.
Yeah, I don't think Chris goes tribal council until the merge. I think they're not showing much idol hunting this season, but I know it is happening. Like Stephanie, we were all like, why didn't Stephanie look for an idol? Uh-huh. She was looking for an idol. We just weren't shown it. So I have a feeling they're all poking around, but because they're, for whatever reason, and reasons that honestly I'm perfectly happy with, they're shifting time of people like digging around and looking through trees who don't find idols. They're just shifting that content elsewhere, which I am more than fine with.
Yeah. Last comment.
Cloudstrife, what is the chance of a girl winning this season? Maybe evil Libby or evil Desiree. Yes, two power playing villains right there.
Kellen could win.
We talked about this. Kellen probably has like the edit to win. I think Laurel is maybe playing a game that can win. Do we really only have... Chelsea. There's five girls left. Wow, that is a...
Is that really all that's left?
We got Des, Libby, Chelsea, Angela, Laurel. There's seven. Why can't I read? Jenna,
Kellen, Desiree. It's Jenna, Laurel, Kellen, Desiree, Angela, Chelsea, Libby. There's seven.
Oh, so there's 15,
ignore
there's
me.
14 people left. It's 7-7. Yeah, I was going to say,
oh, it is the seven season seven.
Feels pretty even.
Yeah, it is pretty even. But with that, I actually only think Kellen and Laurel could win.
Yeah, I kind of agree too. But then again, from what we've seen, I really don't. Maybe I'm just wrong. All right, real quick, MVP, LVP, because that was the last comment.
Oh, crap.
I lose James, so I have now lost three people on my tribe, which just makes sense. Yeah. So I'm down to Kellen, Libby, and Desiree. I'm going to go and give Kellen MVP, even though her and Desiree completely blows that challenge. Kellen was able to make amends or whatever she had to do with Angela and convince Angela. From what we were seeing, Kellen was the one who convinced Angela to vote with us. Because of her relationship with Michael at the last beach, Michael even voted for James. So I think that Kellen's the MVP of this episode, despite the tribe losing.
All right. Who's your LVP? I got to think.
LVP, I'm going to go and say – I'm going to say Libby. And my reason for Libby is because she wasn't even in the episode, and all she was really done is talked about as terrible. Like, she was talked about as this huge villain, and she didn't really look like she had a say in it. And another Malolo goes home, somebody who was really close with her, who ended up voting out, you know, one of the stronger Naviti members. And now she loses James for when Emerge possibly hits. I think Libby had a rough night. And she's the only one we didn't hear from. So rough times to be Libby.
Yeah, tough time to be Libby. Just to give my team the boost, I'm going to throw MVP at Wendell. I think he clearly showed that he was tight with Donathan. I'm keep mixing up Donathan and Dominic. Pretty tight with Dominic, but the fact that he was aligned with Chris's mortal enemy, and as soon as Dominic is away, Chris is like, hey, Wendell, like, I really got to work with you. I think that really speaks to the kind of relationships that Wendell can build, because we never really saw him and Chris interact. But there's clearly some reason that Chris is very drawn to him. And he did really well in that challenge. Like, he had a huge blunder leaving that last bag there, and he brought it back. He remained calm, helped him win the challenge. I think Wendell's in a really good place. I don't know him as well as I would like to, but I think he's set up to absolutely make the merge and definitely go beyond. He's not in a scary leadership position. He's not at the bottom of this apparently solid group of nine. But I think he definitely could be Kellen too. For LVP, I'm going to throw it at Joe. I'm going to give it to Angela. I don't think she made the right choice. I think, or if she made the right choice, I have no reason to believe it was the right choice. I think she is very clearly on the bottom of that nine. I don't really know who she is tight with other than Chris, who is really not the best person to align with on the season. So mm-hmm. I'm going to have to throw it at Angela.
All right. So there you go. That's about it, though. I think we just tore through that whole thing.
Yeah, that was great and good timing, right at about an hour.
I know.
Wow.
So if you want to bring us home.
I will bring us home. So we will be live. We actually already have our date and time set. We'll be live this Saturday. We've got a little for our episode 7 predictions and power rankings. We're going to be a little earlier this week. We're going to be Saturday at 7 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah, I'm going to die. Just saying.
So Fizz, this is like whenever people are like, why does Lex have to stay up so late? It's for moments like this when Phil has to get up at 7 a.m. on a Saturday.
On my 3-day weekend. Phil's getting up at 7 a.m.
7. I can't believe you have Friday off. That's ridiculous.
It's Good Friday.
I've never gotten Good Friday off. Like for work, we never got it off at school.
I live in Hollywood, in working in an industry that is mostly Jewish, and we have off Good Friday. That's all I'm going to say. It's amazing.
Ridiculous. Anyways, this coming Saturday, we will be live with our episode 7 predictions and power rankings at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern time. It's going to be wicked fun. We got a really good guest coming on. Then please vote for MVP and LVP on this video or tweet at us at Survivor Specialist. Comment on Facebook, Survivor Specialist, Phil and Alexa. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. My Alexa just got triggered when I said that. Hit subscribe on YouTube. We're at 3250 right now. We are cruising up, trying to get to 3300. Tell your friends, give us 5 stars on iTunes, and we will see you for coffee and bagels Saturday morning.
With a loser. Gotta say that real quick.
A loser. Good night.
Loser.